This is the EWN Radio Network.
You've waited. You've wished. You've hoped. You've dreamed. Now it's time to act. Time to move toward the life you want to live. This is EWN Radio, and you're listening to Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust with your host, Leslie Green.
Hello, this is Leslie Green, and you're listening to Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust on EWN Radio. This week, we're discussing what? Happiness. No surprise there. We're speaking today to Rocco Belich, the incredibly talented heartbeat behind the film Happy. Now, as you know, Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust is a show that every week sets its sights on encouraging you to live your life to the fullest through accessing your love. We mainly talk about self-love. Trust, understanding what it truly means to trust yourself first, making it almost irrelevant what others say and do. Trust begins within you first. And your pixie dust, which is your belief system. If you've been tuning in every week recently, you've no doubt noticed a trend. We've been looking at happiness from all different angles. In today's show, I hope to tie together much of what we've been covering over the past several episodes. And in order to do so, I'd like you to take a look at your pixie dust. In other words, take a look at your beliefs around happiness. Make an observation and become aware of where the happiness needle falls in your life. Get very real with yourself, because towards the end of the show today, I plan on getting very real right back with you and sharing some of my more vulnerable ahas as they relate to the topic of happiness. So go ahead and ask yourself, am I a happy person? No judgment, just ask the question. Then ask yourself, how do I even define happiness? Do I believe happiness is just a bunch of fluff? Be open to see where today's conversation may lead your thinking. And I'm not just talking about your mind thinking here, but also your heart thinking. So let's begin by setting our intention. May we be open to receive whatever gifts await us during our time together. May we recognize them as such, give thanks, and breathe them in. And so it is. So today we only have our guest for the first half of the show, so let's get to this. Today we have with us Rocco Belich, the writer, director, co-producer, and as I mentioned, the heartbeat of the documentary film Happy. Welcome, Rocco.
Thank you, Leslie. It's great to be speaking with you.
So happy to have you here. Now, Rocco, I understand that you worked on Happy for 6 years. And yes. Being that it came out in 2012, I can only imagine, I was thinking you've probably been asked hundreds of questions, but I'm thinking more like thousands of questions about happiness. And no doubt, I'll probably end up asking you some of those same questions over again. But first, I'd like you to take us somewhere different, at least for now. I want to talk about Genghis Blues. So this was the landmark film, your landmark film, that received an Academy Award nomination. Congratulations for that. So you received a nomination for Best Documentary Feature and won over 70, that's 70, International Film Festival Awards, including the Sundance Audience Award. So that in itself is just like, wow. And when I read, so this to me was another wow that I got out of this, was I read that when you took on this project, you trusted your intuition. You and your brother purchased these two cameras on credit. You flew out to the Republic of Tuva to create the documentary. So here's my question for you, Rocco. Mm-hmm. Trusting your intuition, what does that mean to you? What did it actually feel like, trusting your intuition?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because the movie, as you mentioned, in the Republic of Tuva is near Mongolia. So it's you know, there's China, then there's Inner Mongolia, then there's Outer Mongolia, and Tuva is just farther out than Outer Mongolia. So it's a very remote place, and it definitely took trust and faith to make that leap. And go there and decide to do it. And, you know, you said when I took on the project, I had never done anything professionally. I was just fresh out of college and had never even touched a piece of professional filmmaking equipment in my life. And the cameras we bought were actually home video cameras because that's all we could afford. So from start to finish, the whole project was an exercise in trust in the sense that I had no idea where it would lead us. I didn't even have a vision, to be honest. I didn't even think, oh, we want to end up at the Academy Awards. You know, we want to win awards with this movie. That wasn't at all part of the vision. The vision was simply to pursue something that was extremely interesting to us, which was a story about this amazingly talented blues musician who was traveling there. And we just wanted to complete that project. And when I say we, it's my brother and I. So that was the trust we had. We just believed that this was interesting for us to pursue. It was worth us spending our lives doing it. You know, we knew it would take a few months. Of course, it took 4 years. But even after 4 years, it was worth it. And my expectation was that we would show the film to our mother and a few of our friends, and that would be it. So everything that came as a positive surprise after that, in terms of the awards and playing at film festivals around the world, all of that was sort of icing on the cake, and we didn't need it. I didn't do it for that reason. That wasn't our motivating factor at all. The trust was simply that we believe this is interesting. We want to pursue it. It's a fun way to spend some time and to get better at making films, and it paid off exponentially in terms of what we learned, in terms of our sort of status, you know, coming onto the filmmaking scene, when people began to trust us for the first time, right? When we started the project, nobody believed in us. We couldn't get any grant money. We were just completely on our own. And then the trust actually came in reverse. You know, people started to trust us after we did a fairly decent job making the film. So having trust in our curiosity and our interests is sort of key to everything I've done since that time, including that experience.
Well, how cool is it, Rocco, that what I'm hearing you say is you threw trust out into the universe and then it was delivered right back to you, at you, and for you, which is a pretty cool thing.
It was extremely cool because while we were making the film, we got a lot of challenging feedback. People would say, you know, for example, the grant giving institutions would say, well, we can't fund this. You don't have enough of a track record as a filmmaker. Or they would say the story is a bit too obscure. Or they would say, we don't know who will want to see your film, even though it might be interesting to you. So we got a lot of sort of challenging, possibly negative feedback. And I just thought, well, it's still worth doing. What I learned through the experience is that what I'm curious about and what interests me also resonates with other people. They may not be my immediate circle of friends or my secondary circle of friends, but somebody out there cares about what I care about. And that was very empowering in the sense that I'm curious about things that are not necessarily mainstream subjects, like the subject of that film, this a blues musician who most people had never heard of, going to a place most people had never heard of, to perform a kind of singing that most people had never heard of, where people sing three notes at the same time. So all of these sort of leaps of trust, thankfully, like you said, that it sort of came back so much stronger and with such resonance from the universe, from the audiences, from people that it gave me a different perspective on how things work and how I fit into the whole thing. I used to feel more like an outsider. I still feel a bit like an outsider, but that showed me that there are people who appreciate what I appreciate, and there is a community that can grow from that mutual appreciation.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in listening to you talk about trust and faith, I kept being taken back to when I was watching your film, Happy. There was a woman on there from Texas, and she had her face crushed by a truck, had over 30 surgeries on her face. And I was remembering some of the words that she had said in talking about what it sounded like. She didn't use the words trust or faith, but it sounds very much like what you and I have just been talking about for the past couple of minutes, because she said, I remember her saying that she had always been a need-to-know person. But
right.
After
she
this
wanted to be
happened,
in control.
Right.
She wanted to be in control. She wanted to know how things were going to work. Yeah.
Exactly. And through this experience, she really just had to go through a journey of letting go over and over and over again, even to the extent of thinking, do I end my life or not? And then letting go of those thoughts. She said, I don't understand and I don't need to understand. You know, accepting
right.
all of my life was actually part of her healing. And
right.
so how fascinating is that, that in order for her to heal, she had to trust in whatever it is we want to call it. We can call it trust the process, trust life, trust God, trust herself, whatever that looks like. I just thought that that was very telling.
Yeah, you know, a lot of what I think we're trained to believe in modern society, and maybe especially in America, is that we as individuals we have the power to change things. We can change the environment, we can change our destiny, we can change our futures. And that's very positive, and those messages are very important and very helpful in many capacities, in many ways. But sometimes, as Melissa points out, sometimes you need to do the opposite and just let go of trying to control, trying to change, trying to be the force that directs the future, and just let things happen and see where the pieces lay and appreciate wherever they lay. And that was very powerful to me when I heard her say that. Absolutely.
Yeah, because you look at her story, and we're only giving listeners a slice of it. I mean, there was a whole, she was a debutante. So coming from that sort of Deb society thing, and, you know, knowing that one of the things that she was known for was her beauty. And just the whole story, the way it unfolded, was a very interesting look into trust, in my opinion, as I was watching it. And also, you know, as I said, she didn't use those words, but into happiness. Don't go away, because when we return, Roko will share with us how we, through intention, can change the size of a certain area of our brain that's related to happiness. What he's going to share with us in many cases has been shown to be more effective than taking powerful antidepressant medications. Don't go away. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called Accelerated Networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Hello and welcome back. Thanks for joining us today on Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust. We are speaking with Roko Belich, writer, director, and co-producer of the film Happy. One of the things that I saw, Roko, in your film was this concept, and I hadn't heard it called this before, but you had some, I don't remember if this person was a researcher or PhD or MD, but it was one of the people who was helping to facilitate the conversation, and they talked about this thing, talking about set point range, where 50% of our happiness is determined by our genetics, and then 10% of it is based on our circumstances like money, social status, health. So that's a relatively small slice there, 10%. So that leaves this 40%, which is based on intentional activity. So the actions that we actually choose to do. And I wanted to talk to you about a very significant action that we can choose to do that I heard you talk about. It was spoken about in the film, and then I saw you talk about it in a TED Talk as well. And I have to say that I was curious, more than curious, to hear more about it. So please share with us this very powerful technique that you learned about while filming Happy.
Yeah, it is fascinating. First of all, I should mention that when I started making this movie, I believed that you were either kind of born happy and looking on the bright side of things, or you were born grumpy and miserable and always complaining, right? I just know people like that. No matter what situation they're in, they're either seeing the bright side or not. And as you mentioned, the research is kind of mind-blowing that it indicates that 40% of the differences in people's happiness is actually in our control, because it doesn't always feel like that. And so Richard Davidson, who's a neuroscientist at the University of Madison, Wisconsin, who's been studying emotion in the brain for over 30 years, he discovered that people who do a specific form of Tibetan meditation, and it doesn't matter that it's Tibetan, and it almost doesn't matter that it's meditation. What matters is it is about compassion. This meditation develops your sense of compassion and caring for other people. And by exercising that part of yourself, that part of your brain, that part of your heart, you actually grow part of the brain in your left prefrontal cortex and other areas of the brain that are active during happiness. So these are critical parts of the brain that are required for happiness, and they grow like a muscle grows when you exercise it by doing this kind of compassion meditation. And I should mention briefly that I didn't know much about meditation at the time, so I looked into it and I did a retreat to see what it was all about. And basically, for a period of time, 10 or 20 minutes, you sit quietly and you think, you send yourself good vibes. You say, for example, I wish myself health, happiness, and a peaceful life. And you do that over and over in your head for 10 or 15 minutes. And you take a short break, and then you do that for somebody you love. For example, I wish my mother health, happiness, and a peaceful life. Then you take another short break, and then you do it for somebody you don't know. For example, I wish the person at the coffee shop who gave me coffee today health, happiness, and a peaceful life. And you really try and do it sincerely. And when you think about it, it's probably one of the only times in your life, if not the first time, that you've spent 10 or 15 minutes wishing somebody very well, very sincerely, who you don't even know. And then comes the challenging one. Then you do it for somebody you dislike, somebody who hurt you, or somebody who hurt somebody that you love. And that, of course, is very difficult for a lot of people. But by doing that exercise, by developing your ability to care, even for people who you feel hurt by, that studies show grows your brain in a way that literally makes you happier. The last step of the meditation is then to expand your sort of focus of this positivity and positive energy, expand it to all living beings in the universe. And that's for some people, that's a very woo-woo kind of out there concept, and it sounds New Agey or something. But again, hard science shows that when you do that, your brain changes in a way that makes you happier.
So one of the things that, well, actually, I have two questions here. One is, okay, so I think of 20 minutes, I wish myself health, happiness, and a peaceful life, or something that's meaningful to me. And it's not just repeating it in my head over and over again, but really trying to connect with the feeling and be in that place of peacefulness, yet groundedness at the same time. So I'm doing that, and then if I think about 20 minutes there, take a break, 20 minutes for somebody I love, take a break, and then a stranger, then someone I dislike, then all living beings, the way that our lives go, I think, gosh, is there an abbreviated version of this? And then I saw, sure enough, there is. You shared one of those like in a Huffington Post article or something. Could you share that with us as well?
Well, there's a number of them, but simply doing an act of kindness. We've seen it on bumper stickers, but literally helping somebody out is probably the quickest, what they call happiness intervention that there is, the most effective, I should say, quick happiness intervention. So if you want a genuine boost of happiness, you could lick ice cream, and that works for a few moments, if you like chocolate, you could have a piece of chocolate, but that doesn't really have a lasting impact. But thanking somebody, calling somebody who's done something good for you, and appreciating them and letting them know that, writing a letter of gratitude to a teacher or a friend, saying why you're grateful to them, even if you don't send a letter, can increase your happiness in a positive way for hours, days, or even weeks afterwards. Putting change in somebody's parking meter when the parking meter is expired, even if you don't know the person. So simply being a good person, being kind, can boost your own happiness. And the interesting thing about that is, you know, I've heard that from my grandma and from my mom and from my dad. You know, we've heard that through the sort of cultural wisdom that's been passed down. But it's somehow powerful to me to hear a scientist say it. And maybe that's my bias for science. But it helps, because it means that if you're skeptical about this, there's something that makes you really consider the validity of these claims if you've seen that rigorous science has been applied to it.
Mm-hmm. I love science and love, love, love the brain. I find it fascinating. And so when I think about actually changing that left prefrontal cortex area of my brain, changing it in size and getting it to almost, you know, like I'm working out at the gym, I'm actually, by doing this Tibetan compassion meditation, I'm working out that part of my brain. And then one of the things that I was thinking, I love the kind of pay it forward approach that you were mentioning, but also I started to do this meditation and I found that, gosh, it's taking a really long time. And then I remembered that you had said that you could do one piece of it, say on a Monday, I start with myself, then Tuesday, then it's, you know, my mother or somebody I love. And that way, you know, because who doesn't have 20 minutes? We try to act like we don't, but we make time for things that are important to us and things that matter. And it matters to me that I have more happiness and more peacefulness in my life. And if I say that it matters and I'm not just giving it lip service, then my actions should then follow that. And so I'm very excited about continuing on this Tibetan compassion meditation that you've introduced me to, and I've started to read more about it, actually everything I can get my hands on in the past 48 hours or so.
We shouldn't diminish that there are trained teachers of this meditation. I don't want to make it sound like there's no role for that. But the takeaway from my experience is that it's fairly simple, it's not very challenging, and most importantly, everybody can do it. That's exciting. It's accessible to everyone, and it's fun. It's not something, you know, sometimes going to the gym can be a drag if you don't like that, mm-hmm. or going for a run if you don't like mm-hmm. running. But doing this kind of meditation is actually fun because you're in a positive state, you're thinking about people you love, or you're thinking about positive energy, and that's pretty easy for most people to do. And you know, it's I guess one of the great takeaways of my experience researching happiness is, increasing your happiness is fun. There's very, very little downside or challenges in the traditional sense of self-improvement. You know, if you want to become a better writer, which I am trying to be, it takes a lot of work and it can become very tedious. But becoming happier is essentially identifying the things that make you happy and then doing them, you know. Mm-hmm. And again, not to oversimplify it, because sometimes it's hard to figure out what actually makes us happy versus what we're told will make us happy, but that's a very exciting piece of it, that it is accessible, and you're right, you can break it up. You don't have to do it all in one sitting. You can break it up in much shorter segments, and that's what the trained teachers are for. They know you know what has proven to be effective.
Now, Rocco, I don't know that there's even a question here. We'll see if one develops as I'm thinking out loud, but I do want to say one thing to you that I found. It almost kind of took my breath away when I was reading about this, and it was something that you wrote. And you said that when you really get into this practice, it starts to dissolve barriers. And I think this is such a key point, especially with everything that's going on in the media right now. This practice, the compassion practice, it starts to dissolve these barriers, and it dissolves the them versus us versus me versus you. It dissolves the feeling that somebody is either for us or against us. That, to me, was so beautifully said by you that I don't think there's a question here. I think it's just an expression of gratitude to you for saying it, because I think that it's really fundamental here. So thank you.
Okay. Well, you're very welcome. And you know, it sort of leads me to think about something that that I was really on my mind while I was making the film, which is a friend of mine is a journalist for the New York Times, and he was in Iraq, and he was kidnapped. It was at a time when journalists were being beheaded, and this is a kid I grew up with, you know, since sixth grade. I've known him most of my life, and while he was kidnapped, and we didn't know if he was alive or not, I started to question whether I was living my life with as much courage and bravery, because he was dedicating himself and risking his life to share stories of people whose voices would otherwise not be heard. These, you know, essential to our species to hear each other and know each other. He was facilitating that as a journalist in places where other people weren't. And here I was in an air-conditioned room editing a movie about happiness. And I just started to question everything about my life. And I came across some research that really helped put things in perspective, which was about the positive attributes of happiness. So happy people tend to help a stranger in need more often. They tend to find creative solutions to problems. They tend to have fewer fights, less conflict, less desire to go to war. Happy people pollute the environment less. They have more fun, they have better relationships, they do better at work, they get better peer reviews, they're obviously more fun to be around, and they are healthier and they actually live longer, right? So there's a whole list of how happiness is beneficial to us as individuals. But then the flip side, happy people help strangers in need, right? They're less likely to want our society to go to war. They do all these things to make the world a better place. They find creative solutions to problems. So happiness is not just good for us as individuals, it's good for the world. And that really helped me realize that what we're talking about here is critical, because all of the issues that I want to change in the world, whether it's crime, injustice, starvation, all kinds of oppression, I mean, all of these things that when I read the newspaper I get frustrated about, I wish I could change, all of those things are improved with increased happiness.
You summed that up so well. I'm going to take a lot of what you just said in the last couple of minutes, turn those into tips and bullet points to put on pixiedustradio.com so that folks can get to those and access them easily, because there are so many benefits to being happy. And I used to be one of those who thought that happiness was just a lot of fluff, and I'll be talking about that more during the second half of the show. But it's interesting how our beliefs, our pixie dust, and by the way, the reason that I call it pixie dust, Rocco, in case you don't know, it's our magic, because we can change our beliefs. It's one of those things that, because I can geek all out on the brain, you know, neurologically speaking, when we talk about synapses in the brain, thoughts, they happen at a conscious level. And when you think something so many times in a row, so many hundreds of times, it turns into a belief, which is then accessed at a subconscious and an unconscious level. So we do have within us the magic to change our beliefs. And that's why I love talking about our pixie dust. And it was very humbling myself to change my opinions and beliefs on happiness. So I'll share some of that after we return. But I'm going to ask you one last question, because I know we've got to let you go here, Rocco. What's thing that you'd like to be remembered for?
The first, I don't know, I should probably think about that for a long time, but the first thing that popped in my head is being kind. Mm-hmm. I would like to be kind.
I love that. Well, from what I can say, from an outsider looking in, you are a very kind person. And I thank you from my heart to yours for being on today. Thank you for spending the time with us. And Rocco, I'm very grateful to you.
Leslie, thank you so much. I'm grateful to you too. Thank you.
All right. And so don't go away. When we return, we will be back with more on happiness.
Struggle with trusting in your life right now? Is there something that keeps creeping up in your business life or personal life that you're not sure why you're having such a difficult time letting go of it? Or maybe you've experienced something for the first time and it just doesn't feel quite right. Something you'd like to talk over with someone else who maybe isn't quite so close to the situation? If the message of trusting yourself and loving yourself resonates with you, but you feel you'd like a little more, why don't you visit pixiedustradio.com and set up some time to talk to Leslie one-on-one. Right now, she's offering 20-minute complimentary trust consultations to do just that, to dive deeper with you. Leslie would like to better understand what it is you may be struggling with and offer whatever wisdom and strategies she has gleaned over the years to apply directly to your specific situation. You'll be amazed at how much you can accomplish in just 20 minutes. And this goes without saying, but she wanted to make sure you know. Everything you discuss is completely confidential. Leslie's goal for everyone, her listeners, readers, even for herself, is to be able to inch closer to a true feeling of peace in our everyday lives. And because of that, she is happy and honored that you trust her enough to share a part of your life with her. For your complimentary 20-minute trust consultation, simply go to pixiedustradio.com to sign up. All one word, pixiedustradio.com. And now let's rejoin Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust with your host, Leslie Green.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Leslie Green and you're listening to Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust on EWN Radio. What an honor it was to have Rocco Belich on our show. Rocco and I actually recorded this segment over the summer while I was doing an entire summer series on happiness. We had scientists on Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust. We had doctors. Even similar to Rocco, we had a Hollywood writer, editor, producer team all to discuss happiness with us and the science behind it, positive psychology. And it was over the course of reading each guest's book, researching to prepare for their interview, then listening, truly listening to the answers that they gave on the air, that my thoughts, or really, I guess I could say my beliefs on happiness, started to solidify. See, here is one of those vulnerable ahas I told you that I was going to share with you today. I used to think happiness was absolute fluff. It didn't warrant much attention, in other words. It wasn't stuff, and I'm using air quotes here, it wasn't the stuff real spiritual teachers, students, or practitioners gave a lot of merit to. I had a belief system that said happiness really isn't all that important. It's just like a nice to have, kind of like an add-on. But it's not really what's important to me in my life every day. This was my belief system. Now, I thought that peace and balance, letting go, that's where it was really at. I took the things I saw as deep, like peace, balance, surrender, and deemed those to be the gold standard. And in the same breath, I put happiness in this frivolous category, the category for lightweights. Those people over there who are just playing life, they weren't really living life, feeling their emotions deeply, truly, like I was. All right, so I'm here to tell you that I'm surprised I didn't walk up to a mirror and actually see egg all over my face. My friends, I'm here to tell you my ego was running wild all over that belief system. And it's the same belief system that kept me a martyr for so many decades, and it still rears its victim head more often than I'd like to admit. If it wasn't difficult, if there wasn't a struggle, conflict, some deep emotion attached, it wasn't worthy of my attention. Until one day, I was shocked by this revelation. Could it be that I didn't see myself worthy enough to be light and airy? I didn't see myself worthy enough to be happy. I have to give you a very sincere ouch to that one.
This is not easy to admit. It's just not, not even now, even after coming to this revelation. But like I've said so many times on this show, the first step is to become aware. And the awareness of that truth that lived inside me shook me to my core. Once aware, then I could look at what is. And what is was this. I actively sought out peaceful activities in my life, walking my dog Libby in nature, reading a book, doing my tea meditation, sharing deep, engrossing conversations with girlfriends. I also engaged in discussions that can turn confrontational in a second. Conflict has never really bothered me much. I see it more as healthy dialogue. I'm showing you I care enough about you to share what I honestly think. Otherwise, it would feel like I'm lying to you to just agree with you all the time. So if I cared about you, why would you want me to lie to you? So needless to say, confrontational conversations spring up around me all the time, and that's fine with me. Well, it's fine with me at least. I don't know about if it's fine with the other person. So between the peaceful activities and the heated conversations, I felt like I had my yin and my yang. I felt like I had my balance. But happiness, my friends, happiness, that's what I was missing. Yes, I guess you could say that I was happy walking Libby and happy sipping tea and, yes, even happy arguing with you. But I did not laugh. I did not ease up on deadlines, even though they were all self-imposed. I did not do life with a light heart. And for me, that really was the key. That was the difference, a light heart. Now, I've outlined clearly what my belief system was about happiness. I hope you can tell that I've actually put a lot of thought into this and that I have changed my belief system to one that serves me a heck of a lot better than my original belief system, one that comes with a light feeling in my heart. That's how I define happiness for me. The feeling of moving throughout my day with a light heart. That makes me happy. So now I ask you, what does happiness mean to you? What does it look like in your life? What do you truly believe about happiness? Like Rocco, maybe you used to believe that some people were just born happy and others were simply born grumpy. And that's that. But now you're aware. We have hard scientists to back up that 50% of our propensity towards happiness is genetic. A very small 10% is based on our circumstances, so money, social status, and health. And I'd have to say a very impressive 40% is based on intentional happiness. Intentional. Something you can set your intention behind and actually move the needle in your life, and move the needle significantly. Today, we touched on a small portion of happiness with Rocco. But remember, we did an entire summer series dedicated to positive psychology, the science of happiness. And when we return, what I'd like to do is recap some of our most popular shows for you over the past year. We will be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Is some of this trust talk making sense, but you'd like to learn more? Do you learn better through story rather than step-by-step instructions? For some things, step-by-step instructions are a necessity. But when it comes to the softer skill things in life, things like learning to trust yourself and love yourself, the gentle nature and subtlety of a story can be a much better teacher. In Leslie's book, Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust, available in Amazon, she shares 50 true stories, all with loving yourself and trusting yourself as the main characters. You will also find chapters on letting go, finding your inner strength, the gift of surrender, and even an entire chapter dedicated to pixie dust. Yes, in case you're stumped, Leslie comes out and tells you what the pixie dust actually is and how you can apply its magic directly to your life. It's not just another inspirational book full of feel-good stories. this book has teeth and will provide you with a practical approach on learning to love yourself and trust yourself, to find a place of inner peace. Take a spin for yourself. Read the first chapter completely free. Leslie's gift to you. Visit her blog, trustlifetoday.com, to receive a free copy of Chapter 1, You Are Not Alone. Or go directly to Amazon for your very own hard copy or ebook version of Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust. Begin today to experience the magic within. And now, let's rejoin Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust with your host, Leslie Green.
Hello, I'm Leslie Green, and you're listening to Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust. And in case you didn't realize, you are listening to episode 52, which makes 1 year of Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust being on the air. Let me tell you, the first episode feels like it happened just yesterday, yet so much has happened over the last 52 weeks. It is with a great deal of sadness and happiness that I share with you that today is the final episode of Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust. It has truly been an honor to be your radio show host over the past year. I've learned so much along the way and grown more into the person I was put on this earth to be just by sharing with you. Thank you for the opportunity to do so. My goal with each show was to present experts on topics that really matter to you, that really matter in life, period. So, for as long as my blog, Trust Life Today, has room to house them, I'm going to put the top 10 listened to shows on my website. You'll be able to access them by going to trustlifetoday.com and clicking on radio, or you can go to pixiedustradio.com. Here is a list of the shows that you, through your listens, have said matter to you. And the first one was episode 1, with more listens than anything else, I believe. The episode 1 was called Discover the Magic, the only show that we did on Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust that had no guest. It was just me and you. I shared with you all about self-love, what it means to trust yourself. I shared the number 1 and 2 reasons why we trust. And I also discussed a lot about our box full of darkness, and how even it is a gift. Then there was episode 3, The Fastest Way to Freedom, where we spoke to longtime police officer and SWAT team leader Bob Seklecki. Talk about trust in action. Officer Seklecki spoke to us using real-life examples about the ultimate trust, placing your life in another's hands. Then there was episode 6, Relationship Do's and Don'ts, When to Hold On and When to Let Go. For that one, we met with guest Farrell Phelps, talk show host and celebrity photographer. And man, that was a super fun show. Farrell did not hold back. And how refreshing to hear what he saw as do's and don'ts, the don'ts being total deal breakers in a relationship, and to hear that from a man's point of view. That was an interesting show. There was also episode 9, Eliminate Power Struggles with Your Kids Today. That show is with certified life and parenting coach Amy Egan. Now, I don't care how old your child is, listen to this show. And if you don't have kids, listen to the show anyway. What Amy shares with us are strategies to set healthy, loving boundaries, not just with your kids, but these things will work with your spouse, your mother, your neighbor, you name it. Next, we had episode 11, Dealing with the Control Freak in Your Life. Say no more, right? What a great conversation with author of Losing Control, Finding Serenity, Daniel Miller, the self-declared control freak. Well, I think maybe he actually said that he was a reformed control freak, so let me make that distinction. Next, we had episode 15, Amazing Win, Amazing Loss. And that episode was with former Miss America, Angela Perez Baracchio.
Angela shared with us what it was like to experience tremendous success as well as tragedy. In her case, I'd say the high, high, high of being Miss America and all that entails, and the low, low, low of being Miss America during a very difficult time in our country, 9/11, as well as the loss of her brother through suicide. So Angela shared with us a tale of love and loss that I personally learned a lot from. Episode 21, Pursuing Happiness. That's where we spoke to Adam Schell and Nicholas Kraft, the writer and producer of the documentary film by the same name. I highly encourage you to watch their movie. What a tearjerker, but in a good way. The film presents happiness through the eyes of so many people around the United States, people you may not immediately think have much reason to be happy. But in each case, you find yourself pleasantly surprised. Episode 25, Broadcasting Happiness, with former CBS News anchor Michelle Geelin. Michelle left the broadcasting life of New York City to study positive psychology. She felt that there was another side to the story, another story to tell other than the doom and gloom that's presented on the nightly news. And that's exactly what she does now. She broadcasts about happiness. But during my conversation with Michelle, she flipped the tables and shared how our actions matter, how we are all broadcasters, no matter whether we're on the air or not. We're broadcasting all the time, through our words, through our actions. And I must say, her book, Broadcasting Happiness, is my favorite in that genre, along with her husband Sean Acor's book, The Happiness Advantage. Those two are my go-to happiness books. Episode 49, Inside the Miracle with Mark Nepo. Can I just tell you, when I took on this gig as radio show host for eWomen Radio, I set goals for myself, just like I would with any big project I take on. So most of the goals were around what I wanted to deliver to you, the listener, every week. But I also set one goal for a special guest I wanted to interview. And Mark Nepo was that guest. As you can see, with him being guest number 49, I cut it pretty close. There was a time that I wasn't really sure if it was going to happen or not. I actually asked a group of women that I hang out with, my faith sisters, to say a prayer for a most benevolent outcome. And after that benevolent outcome prayer, I let go. And wouldn't you know, his publicist emailed me about, I'd say, 2 to 3 weeks later and said that he was all mine. Well, those weren't actually her exact words, because I'm sure his wife probably wouldn't appreciate that, but you know what I mean. Anyway, Mark Nepo, all I can say is, wow. If you haven't had an opportunity to listen to Mark Nepo before, catch him now. What an amazing storyteller, philosopher, writer, all wrapped up in one. He even reads a passage from his most recent book, Inside the Miracle, at the end of our interview. So if you were counting, and if I counted correctly, that makes 9 shows. I'm actually going to add this show that you're listening to now as the 10th show on Trust Life Today. I'm going to place it there as the bookend that it is to a wonderful and meaningful time in my life. And at this time, I'd like to thank you for listening and thank you for your support. Although my radio show is ending, I'm not dare giving up my Facebook group page by the same name as this show and as my book. No way. The Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust Facebook page has grown into quite a community. And as impersonal as social media can feel, and it definitely feels that way to me, you don't even know if what you're reading on there is true half the time. I'm reading about somebody and their healthy lifestyle, and I don't know, did you really make that spinach smoothie, or did you just run through the McDonald's drive-thru? I have no idea. People put on there what they want you to see about them, right? I mean, that's kind of the way it works. But to be honest, when I'm on Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust, I feel completely connected, especially with those who comment regularly and share their hearts. So I'd love to encourage you to give it a visit. We'd love to have you continue to grow with us through the practice of self-love, learning what it truly means to trust yourself, and really taking a nice long look at your pixie dust, your belief systems. Maybe looking at them from different angles, too. We do get some healthy conversations going on there, so please consider heading over to Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust on Facebook and joining in on the conversation. And as always, for today, tomorrow, and each tomorrow to come, my prayer for you is this. May you lead your life by love and live your life with trust. Let go and believe that a greater outcome is already yours. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust. We hope you enjoyed the show. Would you like to find out more about what it means to love yourself and trust yourself? Well, don't wait until next week. Go visit TrustLifeToday.com, where Leslie has been sharing about love and trust since January of 2011, which is a long time in the blogging world. Long enough to build up a hefty supply of resources just for you, making Trust Life Today the ideal place for you to visit between radio shows. The site is full of articles on not only loving yourself and trusting yourself, but also on forgiveness, letting go, celebrating life, and much more. Visit TrustLifeToday.com. Poke around. Leave Leslie a message. Let her know how she can better serve you. And while you're there, why don't you sign up to receive original writings? Only about 2 per month, so nothing that will be too taxing on your inbox. Thank you again for tuning in today. We look forward to having you back next Wednesday at noon Eastern Standard Time on Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust.
This is the EWN Radio Network.